Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is the goal, to wake up in the morning and think about your day, not your diet. How amazing would that be? If you'd like to join me today and call in, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or compulsive eating, any kind of issues with food, the problem is not what you are eating, it is what's eating at you. So a few people asked me to continue with my 100 ways to make peace with food, which, by the way, you can grab it on my website. If you're on my website, you can also grab my free book, or you can go to drnina.info, drnina.info. I had a glitch with the shipping cost, and it was like European rates. It's a free book. All you have to do is pay for shipping, but for some reason there was a glitch, and it was charging really expensive European rates for people who are not in Europe. So that has been fixed now. I released more copies for more people who want to get it. So head on over and get yours now, drnina.info. Okay, so these 100 ways to make peace with food, you can get this on my site, drnina.com, drninainc.com. I'm just going to read some of them, and then we're going to get to how to survive the holidays, how to get through the holidays without gaining weight. How about that? Sounds good, right? But first, a few more of my 100 ways to make peace with food, which are quotes, graphics with quotes, and then some commentary on me, from me. So this one is, loving your body only when it's in perfect shape is like only loving your kids when they behave perfectly. I don't know who came up with that original quote, but I do love it. Love should not be conditional, and that includes your love, appreciation, and care for yourself. Do not make it conditional. Be unconditional, and that means accepting your perfectly imperfect self. Yes, that's you, perfectly imperfect, as we all are. And if you're waiting to be perfect, or you're waiting to be a different weight, or you're waiting for something to feel good about yourself, stop waiting. Appreciate yourself now. Next one is, love is the new black. Love never goes out of style. So make love part of every day, and make sure to include love and appreciation for yourself. There's a theme here, right? When you love and appreciate yourself, you feel good. It's hard to be like, oh, I feel good about myself, and then want to use food to feel better. You already feel good. You're not going to use food for comfort or escape. This is a quote from J.K. Rowling. I have more of this quote in my new book, The Binge Cure. Where is my book? I had it here somewhere because I was going to show it to you. Anyway, you can read the whole quote in my book, which for some reason I cannot find right now. Oh, it's under my paperwork. And there's Ronan, the engineer, come to show me. He's got a copy. The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. I love this quote. The whole quote's in the book. Here's what she said. Is fat really the worst thing a human being can be? Is fat worse than vindictive, jealous, shallow, vain, boring, or cruel? Not to me. Not to me either, JK. So keep that in mind. When you accuse yourself of being the F word, because I don't really like to use that word, I call it the F word, Is that really the worst thing that a person can be, you or anyone else? Your body is a temple, but only if you treat it like one. Treating your body as a temple means having a sense of awareness of what your body needs and giving yourself what you need, giving yourself nutritious, healthy food, giving yourself acknowledgement, being warm and kind to yourself. It means respecting yourself and honoring your miraculous body. We really are miracles. Anyone who's actually given birth or seen someone given birth knows that it is a miracle that we're born and then we live and we're alive and somehow we exist. We are so lucky to be here. We are so lucky to have the minds that we have, the good things in our lives that we have. Focus on the good, whether it's in your life or about your body. That doesn't mean dismissing the bad. It means really honoring and letting in the good and cherishing yourself, cherishing your life, and taking care of yourself. I think last time I stopped at Socrates' quote, "It's impossible to heal the body without healing the soul." We are more than just our bodies, and we have to nurture all aspects of ourselves, emotional, intellectual, creative, spiritual. Any part of you needs your attention, not just your physical self. Let me find one that I didn't. That's one of my daughters. Okay. Finding fault with your thighs or complaining about your stomach never leads to self-confidence. Focusing on qualities you like about yourself is the only thing that will make you feel good. Judging, criticizing, and disparaging your body is not the path to self-esteem and well-being. It is not. You cannot make yourself feel good by making yourself feel bad. Those thoughts make you feel terrible. And when you feel bad, by the way, you're more likely to use food for comfort or distraction. So treating yourself nicely is the key to feeling good, and feeling good is the key to making peace with food for good. Oh, here's one of my favorite quotes by Marcia Hutchinson. She's a body image expert. She says, "If you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left." How about that? If you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. The way you talk to and about yourself impacts the way you feel. The way you feel, in turn, impacts what you do. So if you're mean to yourself, you're going to feel bad, you're going to eat for comfort. If you're nice, supportive to yourself, if you're reassuring to yourself, if you're a cheerleader to yourself, guess what? You feel good. And when you feel good, you don't need to eat for comfort or distraction. Here's one about comparison. Comparison is the thief of joy, said Theodore Roosevelt back in the day, and he could not be more correct. This is a great quote. "I am not beautiful like you. I am beautiful like me." Appreciating your unique beauty inside and out and never comparing yourself to anyone else is one key to happiness. Yes, this is easier said than done. Absolutely. But practice makes progress. So notice and appreciate the wonderful and unique person you are today, and your life will feel richer and fuller and happier. And by the way, what do you like about yourself? Why don't you comment, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, leave me a comment. Let me know something that you like and appreciate about yourself. Why not make it public? Don't keep it to yourself. Share. Hold on, got a call. Hold on, person. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Jacqueline. I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Hi, Jacqueline. Welcome to the show. Have you called before?
I called about a year ago.
That's what I thought. Something about your daughter.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually calling because I'm having a little of difficulties. So basically, I was going through therapy to learn to eat better because I spent my whole life doing diets since when I was 16 years old. So I've been through a lot of this is good, this is bad, you know, hating myself, loving myself, going through this phases that you probably already know.
Yes, I'm familiar with this.
And then my therapist, she told me to, for example, to make a list. For example, make two lists. One thing that the things that you like and one list of the things that you don't like. But then, for example, when you say the things that you don't like, don't say things like, okay, you don't like because it's bad for you or because sugar is bad or carbs is bad. If you don't like, just say don't like. That's it. But the thing is, when I was making that list and then I started writing down the things I like and the things I don't like, for example, the things I don't like, I put like, I don't like meat. I don't like raw salad. I don't like nuts. So I kind of, and then kind of make me understand that I don't like things that remind you of diet. You know what I mean? Like a grilled chicken, salad, or things that are very, very healthy. And the things I like, I put a lot, I like pizza, I like Nutella, I like cookies. I put a lot of junk food in the list.
Well, I'm guessing,
I'm guessing,
Jacqueline, that the things that you like are the things that you think you can't have.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, and funny, like when I put on my list, I don't like eating meat. And then I start thinking, okay, maybe I got a lot of vegan books because maybe I got to a point where everything was making me sick. Like if I make a meal, I had like some chicken, some cooked vegetables, and maybe a piece of rice. Every time I look at it, I thought about diet food. I was starting to get very, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Exhausted.
So
eating that.
Jacqueline, I think that the problem here, although I think that with someone who doesn't struggle emotionally with food, what your therapist suggested has a lot of merit to think about you,
right,
what you like, not about what, you know, not about what you should have or shouldn't have. However, if you have a deprivation mentality, it's not about food. Eating issues are not about food. That's why the first chapter of my book is called Ditch Dieting. It's not what you're eating, and it's what's eating at you. So if you tell yourself you can't have something or you shouldn't have something, then you know what? Human nature says you want it. You want the thing you think you cannot have.
Right.
And so even if you come from a place of I'm going to not make two categories. I'm just going to go with what's healthy and what's not healthy. What do I feel like? What do I not feel like? If you give yourself permission to have something, you can decide whether you want it and if so, how much of it to have. Recently someone said that she did this with cake. Normally she would have told herself she couldn't have the cake, didn't want anyone to have her, you know, see her eating cake. Then if she ate cake, she wouldn't have cake again until she lost 30 pounds. So, of course, she's going to have too much of it. She caught herself with this deprivation type of thinking. And she said, you know what? I'm going to have the cake. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to give myself permission to have cake. And what do you think happened? She had the cake. She enjoyed it. Which is very important because when you're eating things that you think you shouldn't eat, there's a part of you that feels so guilty you don't really even enjoy it. And then she was done. It's like, okay, that was good cake. I could have it. I can have it without overdoing it.
Yeah, it's funny because when I put on a list of the things that I like and I put like Nutella or some cookies, things that I never usually buy it, but at the moment that I had at home, yes, I was trying to eat, giving myself permission, but then I confess that after like 2 weeks, I just had everything at once. You know, like I think in my body, something activating there and say, oh my God, that tastes amazing. I don't want to stop. So yeah. Well, and it's funny, for example, another thing on my list that I put that I don't like, for example, I start hating meat for some reason and the cooked vegetables. So then I went to the library. I got a lot of vegan books. So maybe I should learn to make some vegetable alternatives. Maybe my vegetables taste bad. You know, trying to be creative in the kitchen to see if it gives me the mood.
But Jacqueline, I got to interrupt you because I think there's a real difference between, and as you know, I'm a psychoanalyst, so I don't really talk about the food part. I think there's a real difference between making healthy choices or not and using food to feel feel better, or feeling bad about yourself because you ate pizza, or feeling good about yourself because you ate salad. Tying your sense of self to what you eat is not good. And you got to look at, well, you know, where did you learn to do this? And what would you be thinking about if you weren't so preoccupied with food? I think it's great to get the if you don't like meat for whatever reason, get the vegan or vegetarian cookbooks, make vegetables that taste good. You're not going to want something that doesn't taste good. But look at separating that, having healthy dinners with, you know, vegetarian or vegan, whatever. Separate that from eating emotionally, stress eating, eating because of deprivation, comfort eating, and all of that. That's motivated by something psychological.
Yeah, because it's funny, like when I got those books, on the next day, you know what I did? I crave lots of eggs and I crave chicken, I crave everything. And I was like, what the hell is going on in my head?
Well, perfect description of how the anticipation of deprivation makes you want something more. So I'm sure if I told you, you cannot have salad anymore, salad is now bad, you'd probably want salad because we want what we think we cannot have, even if we choose not to have it. So maybe rather than categorize everything, just say, you know, right now I'm not really into chicken, but that doesn't mean you have to go vegan. It means you get to decide, you know, today I don't want to have meat, or for the foreseeable future, I'm just going to have, you know, more vegetarian options or whatever, and not be so black and white about it.
Right. Okay. And then, for example, another thing that I don't know what your opinion about that. For example, they say that you should only eat when you're actually physically hungry, right? So let's say that you're physically hungry, but you're so hungry that you just keep eating a lot non-stopping. So what's your opinion about having snacks between and just only eat when you're actually physically hungry?
Well, this is also a question more for a dietitian. But I find that with my patients and clients and people who are, you know, struggling with food, it's very individual. Some people are really good just having three meals. I think it's important to eat enough, because if you do not eat enough, you are setting yourself up potentially for binging. I want to actually read something to you. This is what normal eating is. It's by Ellen Satter. She's a registered dietitian. And just listen to this and then tell me your thoughts. Normal eating is being able to eat when you're hungry and continue eating until you are satisfied. It's being able to choose food you like and truly get enough of it, not just stop eating because you think you should. Normal eating is being able to use some moderate constraint in your food selection to get the right food, but not being so restrictive that you miss out of pleasurable foods. Normal eating, and this is the one that's controversial, is giving yourself permission to eat sometimes because you're happy, sad, bored, or just because it feels good. Sometimes, meaning rarely. Normal eating is eating three meals a day most of the time, but it can also be choosing to munch or graze through the day, right? It's individual. It's leaving some cookies on the plate because you know you can have some tomorrow, or it's eating more now because they taste wonderful when they are fresh. Normal eating is overeating at times. It's also undereating at times. Normal eating is trusting your body to make up for your mistakes in eating. Normal eating takes up some of your time and attention, but it keeps its place as only one area of your life. Normal eating is flexible. It varies in response to your schedule, your hunger, and your proximity to food. So you, in listening to that, I think that probably challenges a lot of your assumptions.
Yeah, because I feel like today people it's like we're kind of relying on other people to tell us what to do because we don't trust ourselves, you know? So basically, you say you have to eat at this time, this amount of food, and then let's say at 12 o'clock, this time, like for example, half cup of rice or some vegetables at 5 o'clock, this. So
Jacqueline,
we kind of lose control of what we want.
If I told you, you've got to go to sleep every day at 10 o'clock, whether you're tired or not, every day, 10 o'clock, that's what you should do. Are you going to be tired every day at 10 o'clock and go to sleep? No, of course not. Because, you know, our bodies are different. We're not machines. So sometimes we're hungry at noon, and sometimes we're hungry at one, and sometimes we're not hungry. Sometimes we wake up hungry, sometimes we don't. Ditch dieting, because dieting is anything that tells you what you should eat and when, as opposed to you deciding, because you're tuned in to yourself, how hungry am I? Not should I eat? How hungry am I? What does my body feel like having? And do I want protein right now? Am I, you know, do I want salad? Do I want pasta? So I really encourage you to stop listening to anyone who tells you what to eat and when to eat it, and start getting more comfortable checking in with yourself. And by the way, I'll be posting this on my Food for Thought community group. If you're not a member, join. It's Dr. on Facebook. It's Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. Just if you're not a member, just go and ask to join, and I will post this later so that you can actually see it instead of just having heard me read it. Because I think it's a very important way to think about what is quote unquote normal. So many of us think normal is kind of what you're saying. Perfect.
Right.
And then the last thing, Jacqueline, I would ask you is, if you weren't so focused on all of this food stuff, what would you be thinking about? What is this distracting you from?
Oh my God, everything. Wow. Yes, like I think I've mentioned before, so I have twins, 4 years old. So one has autism, and I also a university student, and I have like heavy deadlines. So my whole day is about worrying about everything. Even, for example, I was even looking at my Instagram account, and I was like, when was the last time I put a selfie of myself? It's only my kids, you know? Yes. So I feel like distracting myself for all of that.
So, Jacqueline, you are in my Food for Thought community, because I recognize that. Yes, you are, absolutely. So so the next time you start being preoccupied about food, here's some food for thought. How can you create more balance in your life, where you have some me time, where you're posting something or thinking about yourself and not just about your school, your twins, you know, and other things in your life? You've got to make room for Jacqueline.
Right. Okay.
Very important. You deserve time too. You deserve and actually need to nurture and nourish your own life before you can give to others, because then you end up depleted and empty, and there's food to either fill you up symbolically or make you start thinking about it all the time as a distraction from, you know, it's hard to think about the fact that you're not showing up in your life as much as you might.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. So, Jacqueline, will you not wait a year to call me and let me know how you're doing with thinking about you and your life? So here's what I would recommend. The next time you start being preoccupied, should I eat this? Should I go vegan? Should I be vegetarian? Do I like meat? Do I just say, wait, hold on. What would I be thinking about if I'm not thinking about this? What's bothering me? What am I distracting myself from?
Right.
And call me and let me know how you're doing.
Okay, perfect. Will do.
Okay. Take good care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, see how focusing on calories, carbs, fat grams, what to eat, when to eat, it just keeps you distracted from you. It keeps you focused on what you're eating. It distracts you on what's eating at you. Okay, so did I finish my last? Did I finish? Oh, yeah, I did finish it. I am beautiful. I am beautiful. I'm not beautiful like you. I'm beautiful like me. We'll leave it at that. I have lots more of these 100 ways to make peace with food, and I will continue with them next week. But right now, I'm going to talk about how to get through the holidays without gaining weight. Do the holidays, and we're in the holidays right now. It is November. There are little lights all over palm trees in Los Angeles right now. And you know what that means? That means the holidays. It may be 80 degrees, but we've got little lights. Very pretty. Love little lights. So it's the holidays. Do the holidays fill you with a combination of hope and dread? Are you worried about gaining weight during this otherwise festive time? Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Studies show that if you gain weight over the holidays, you tend not to lose it in January. Despite your good intentions, your commitment to be healthy, all of your New Year's resolutions, statistics are not in your favor, and the chances are high that your New Year's diet will not work in the long run. That's the bad news. And now for the good news. It does not have to be that way. I'm going to tell you how to break the cycle. So, I'm going to give you some strategies you need to make it through so you can start the new year off right. And guess what my first idea is? My first strategy. Ditch dieting. Yes, just like it's the first chapter in my new book, it is my first strategy. Ditch dieting. Dieting over the holidays or ever doesn't work. It will backfire. Diets fail because on some level they are about deprivation or the anticipation of deprivation, and that leads to overeating or binging. If just as Jacqueline was saying that, you know, the second she didn't like chicken, but the second she told herself she couldn't have chicken and she was become a vegan, what did she want? Chicken. There you have it. The anticipation of not being able to eat what you want will make you want it more. And if you're thinking the whole time about not eating pumpkin pie or Christmas cookies or stuffing or whatever it is you think you shouldn't be eating, then you have pie and cookies and food on your mind all day, which puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you are eating and not why. Diets fail because they only deal with food. They don't address the underlying reasons that make you turn to food. And there are many, many reasons. Eating for comfort, distraction, to numb yourself against difficult feelings, to celebrate. Many, many reasons why you might be using food. Dieting keeps you in a perpetual battle with yourself, disconnected from yourself. And this is a terrible way to go through life. You don't want to be disconnected with yourself. You don't want to feel good about yourself because you ate celery and bad about yourself because you ate pizza. You don't want to feel good about yourself only if you get to a certain number on the scale or you have a six-pack or an eight-pack or a 12-pack or whatever you're supposed to have these days, according to fashion magazines. The key to change, the key to permanent change, is to stop dieting and start tuning into what's eating at you. Because when you deal with the true problem, the true underlying problem, you don't use food to cope. And I've talked about this before. A few years ago, researchers did a study intending to prove that food is an addictive substance. And their research subjects were asked to eat their forbidden foods as part of the study. And the premise was, hey, once people start eating their forbidden foods, those bad foods, once they start eating those bad foods, it's going to light up all their centers in their brain and they will not be able to stop. And that will prove food addiction, right? That was the premise of the study. Instead, something interesting happened. Something unexpected happened. When given permission to eat these forbidden and so-called addictive foods, because they were all loaded with sugar or fat or whatever, the people in the study ate less. They ate less, which was the opposite of what the food addiction theorists expected. So why did this happen? Simple. The research subjects, these people, had no expectation of deprivation. So they ate what they wanted. And they didn't feel guilty about their choices because they were being told to eat it. They didn't fall into that dieting pitfall of, well, I had one, I should have had none, but I had one, so I might as well have the whole bag or the whole box or the whole pint or the whole whatever. And that shows how important psychology is when it comes to food choices. When you allow yourself to have something, you can decide whether or not you actually want it or how much you want of it. And by the way, that is how naturally thin people stay thin. You ever notice how non-dieting, by the way, non-dieting, naturally thin people, if you go out to dinner with them, they order what they want. And sometimes they don't even finish their whole portion. They order, like, I have a friend who only orders hamburger. And she sometimes eats the whole hamburger. She sometimes has just half of it. She knows she can have hamburger anytime she wants, so she doesn't feel guilty about eating hamburger and feel like she's got to have the whole thing or feel bad about herself because she ate hamburger, so therefore she should have all the fries or whatever. There's no anticipation of deprivation, so you just go, oh, I've had enough. Or, you know, I'm good. So this holiday season, give yourself permission to ditch dieting. Now, when I make this suggestion to people in my private practice or in my online groups, my Kick the Diet Habit program, my Inner Circle program, they initially get anxious, although I have not talked about this to my Inner Circle program yet, but they initially get very anxious and they imagine they're going to gain weight. So one woman said, hey, remember in the Willy Wonka movie when Veruca Salt turns into a giant blueberry and they got to roll her out of the building? That's going to be me, she said. She just figured she'd just start eating and never stop. But that's the fear. And fears are not facts. This has never happened to a single one of my patients or clients or anyone that I know. They did not gain weight. They did not double their weight. Instead, like the people in the research study, when they gave themselves permission to eat what they wanted, to really tune into their bodies and eat what they wanted, they inevitably ended up eating less. So that's my first strategy. Second strategy, figure out what's eating at you instead of focusing on what you're eating. It's kind of what I talked about with Jacqueline, right? When she stopped thinking about vegan this or meat or healthy or pizza or whatever, well, she started associating to the fact that she's the mother of twin girls. I don't know if she said that. Maybe I remember that from last year when she called. Twins, and she's a student, and she's got a lot going on, and she's never posting about herself in her Instagram. What about her? And maybe that was difficult to confront. Maybe that was challenging for her to think about. But if she's not thinking about food, then she's going to think about something that's uncomfortable. But the good news is she can think about it. She can work through it. She can come to terms with it. And then food is not going to be an issue. So every gardener knows that if you yank a weed, it will grow back. To get rid of the weed for good, you've got to get to the root. With weight and food issues, you got to get to that proverbial root issue. Figure out what's eating at you instead of going on a diet. A diet is just a weed. And often a lot of people have picked many, 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 many weeds in their lives. Now it's time to get to the roots. I've had so many people who had gastric bypass back in the day and lap surgery more recently. They went through horrible surgery, felt awful for weeks, months afterwards, lost a ton of weight, and then started gaining it back, beating the band, as it were, as I believe it's called, or just finding a way to eat. And many of them gained 100 pounds back, 150 pounds back, or, you know, they're well on their way to doing that, and they realize, having this surgery was not the answer. They really had to figure out why they were eating and not just deal with the food part. So often we get so good at using food when we're distressed or using it as a coping mechanism, we don't even know what's actually bothering us. We don't even know we're coping. It seems like we're being triggered by food. It seems like that, but really we're being triggered by something else that is. We're so quick to use the food that we don't even know something is going on inside and that we're coping, we're distracting ourselves in that moment. So what you may think of as a trigger food is actually pointing to the true trigger, which is the underlying emotion, need, or conflict. And that is why I created my food mood formula. By the way, this is also something I talk about much more in depth in my book. So here's the formula. So the first category is creamy foods. Think, you know, ice cream, pudding, creamy, creamy, creamy. Ice cream, frozen yogurt, pudding. If that is your go-to kind of food when you need some comfort, that suggests a longing for comfort, for soothing, and for nurturing. So if ice cream is your go-to food, you need to find a new way to comfort yourself, a new way to be to yourself. And by the way, think about what you would say to a friend who was upset. Would you say, hey, I know just how to deal with this. Have some ice cream. Let's go to get some Ben and Jerry's. You're going to be fine in no time. Probably not. You probably talk to your friend, talk about what's bothering him or her, and help that person work through it. So finding a new way to respond to yourself is essential. It's also something that I cover in my book. The next category is filling. Those are sort of bulky foods like bread, pasta, cake, pizza. They're all correlated to loneliness or emptiness. They symbolically fill a void. So if you crave these kinds of filling foods, that's a clue that you may be feeling lonely or deprived, empty, and that you're using food to symbolically fill up. So ask yourself, what are the holes in your life, in your soul? What is missing? What are the empty spaces within you that you might not want to look at but are trying to fill with food? Something to think about. Last category is crunchy. Foods that are crunchy, chips, pretzels, anything with a crunch, those are associated with anger. So if crunchy foods are the ones that you turn to most, you may be angry, frustrated, annoyed, something along those lines. By the way, those are all forms of anger. Some people think anger is just when you're like really pissed and enraged. Ah! No, irritation is a form of anger. Annoyance is a form of anger. Frustration is a form of anger. And maybe you are taking your angry feelings out on yourself for eating these types of foods instead of expressing it about or towards the person or situation who's making you mad. Now, by the way, expressing anger does not always mean confronting the person who's making you mad. It's not like you're going to go to your boss and say, hey, I got to tell you, you're pissing me off, buddy, or ma'am, whatever. You're not going to say that to your boss, but you can say to yourself, God, my boss is just so upsetting, and this is just so annoying, and acknowledge it and process it and work through it, or talk to a friend, process it with yourself. Use my very way of comforting yourself. Validation, acknowledgement, reassurance. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. I'm so upset. I'm so mad. Of course I am. My boss did this. How else could I feel right now? And then you reassure yourself, but I'm going to work through this. I've dealt with difficult issues before. This is problematic. I'm a good problem solver. I've dealt with things before. I'm going to get past this. Right now, it's just really upsetting, and I'm going to come up with a solution. And then the why stands for yourself. So if you think that you are triggered by food, think again. You are actually being triggered by an emotional need. So identifying what is bothering you is the first step to changing your relationship to food, because once you know what is bothering you, you can start dealing with it. It's that invisible army. You cannot fight an invisible army. You just get beaten up. But once you make the army visible and you see what you are fighting, then you can deal with it, just like with Jacqueline earlier. Right? The problem is not chicken or vegetables or pizza. The problem is she probably doesn't have enough me time. She's not nourishing and nurturing herself, and I don't mean her body. She's not taking care of her in her life enough. That's my guess. Third strategy, and by the way, if anyone else would like to call, number here is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear from you and hear what's going on with you. My third strategy is to take it a day or a meal at a time. So the holiday season, we all think in terms of the holiday season. It stretches from Halloween to New Year's Day. That's a long time. That's 2 months. So what may seem like weeks and weeks and weeks is actually not 2 months, because 2 months seems like a really long time to be good for the holidays. Lots of people say, I'm going to be really good for the holidays this year. I'm going to be good. I'm not going to eat anything bad. I'm not going to eat those Christmas cookies. I'm not going to overdo it. I'm going to be good. Well, several weeks of being good is a long time to tell yourself you're being good. That's a long time to anticipate deprivation. So here's a different way to think about it. What may seem like 8 weeks can really be condensed to only a few days of actual celebrating. Chances are you only participate in some of the holiday events of the season. So here are the holiday events of the season. In October, we have Halloween. November, we have Thanksgiving. December, we have Christmas Eve, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and New Year's Eve. I apologize if I have missed anyone, any other types of religions or celebrations. Those are the main ones that I know of and that most people are aware of. So really, you're only celebrating a few days. Yes, there are going to be office parties and things like that, but probably only one office party, maybe two office parties at the most. So think about which holidays you participate in. That adds up to only a few days at most, not weeks. Take it one holiday day at a time. And also, here's something really important. If you're going to go out on one of those celebrations and you think, oh, I'm going to go to this great party later tonight, so I'm not going to eat breakfast, I'm not going to eat lunch, so I can eat whatever I want at that party, that is setting yourself up for disaster. Because if you skip breakfast and or lunch, knowing you're going to a holiday party later or some event, you're setting yourself up to overeat or binge. Because when you are super hungry, you are more likely to lose control once you actually start eating. And if you have the mindset of, oh, I didn't have anything all day, so now I can make up for that. I could take my calories I didn't eat on breakfast and lunch and use them at dinner. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Then that you're just not going to be able to gauge correctly or stop. Two reasons people binge, two main reasons. One is for emotional reasons, emotional conflicts. The other is because you're so ravenously hungry, you cannot stop. So make sure you eat enough before you go to a party or occasion. And if you're really hungry and you feel like you're starving, you have a snack before. It's so difficult to stop yourself from making poor choices or eating too much when you are ravenously hungry. Also, when you skip meals, your metabolism slows down. And so it takes fewer calories to keep your body going. So now your body is more efficient. You use fewer calories, so it makes it easier to gain weight. Okay, now let's talk about how to take care of you over the holidays. This is my fourth strategy to get through the holidays without gaining weight, is to be a friend to yourself. So I'm taking a sip of water so I don't lose my voice anymore. Hopefully that does the trick. Okay, so as an example, one of my patients, let's call her Kayla. Of course, these names are all changed to protect everyone for confidentiality reasons. She had a horrible breakup, and she had a confession to make. She comes in and she tells me she has a confession to make, even though the breakup had been, you know, some weeks before it, before, like a couple months before even. She ate just endless bowls of ice cream thinking about the breakup. And she said, oh, I can't believe I did that. I ate so much ice cream. I should be over it by now. I should be over it already. Like, I broke up with him 2 months ago. What's my problem? So I asked her what she would tell a friend who had comforted herself with ice cream after a bad breakup, an unexpected breakup, which are the worst. And she said, oh, well, I would tell her I was so sorry she was going through a tough time and I'd ask how I could help. I said, oh, so you would not shove a carton of ice cream into your friend's hands and say, oh, eat this. And she looked completely horrified and said, no, she would never do such a thing. She would be a good friend to her friend. And yet, that is exactly what she did to herself. So and then she would feel bad about herself. And then she would feel, so she felt bad, ate ice cream for comfort, and then felt bad about herself for eating ice cream. So if a friend had eaten ice cream, she would not have said, what's wrong with you? Get over it already, which is what she said to herself. She would not say to a friend, what is your problem? It's been a couple of months since that breakup. Get over it already. Yet that is what she said to herself. She would not have said, oh, you are so disgusting. And yet that is what she said to herself. Can you relate? Does this sound familiar? So if you are mean to yourself, you feel terrible, and you might use food to escape your own mean voice. Think about it. If someone was just standing over you going, what's your problem? You should be over that by now. You would just want to get away from that person, right? You leave me alone. Well, ice cream or other kinds of foods takes you away. Takes you away from your own mean voice. So it is critical to cultivate a kind voice. The way you talk to yourself, the way you talk about yourself, makes you feel either good or bad. When you're kind to yourself, you feel better, then you don't need food to cope. So how do you do that? How do you cultivate a kinder way of being to yourself? Well, that brings me, and how much time do we have? A few more minutes. That brings me to strategy number 5, which is silence your inner critic. If you've ever said something like this to yourself, you've got no willpower. You're not good enough. You're never going to lose weight. I'm such a loser. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to your inner critic. That critic is horrible. It makes you feel bad. And guess what? Again, you're going to eat to escape yourself. And by the way, a really good way of catching your inner critic is this. If you talk to yourself in the second person, when you say to yourself, you're a loser, you've got no willpower, you're not good enough, you're never going to lose weight. Notice the talking to yourself from a second person, which is you. You're not saying, I've got no willpower, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to lose weight. In those moments, when you're talking to yourself in second person, that's your critic. So, example, last year, holiday times, Ellen was at a party catered by a gourmet French restaurant known for its excellent food. And she said that she's like, I decided it was not the time to worry about what I was eating. So I just decided to eat what I wanted and be reasonable and really enjoy it. And afterwards, she was in the car driving home and she thought, you're such an idiot. You are such an idiot. You are never going to lose weight if you go on like this. And I can't believe you did that. So notice the way she switched from, I'm just going to let myself enjoy the evening, to you are such an idiot. So when I asked her to say, I am such an idiot, say that again, just say it from an I place. She had a hard time with it because it is really hard. When you're talking to yourself from a you place, there's a distance there and it's easier to attack yourself. When you say it from an I place, it's a lot more difficult. So watch out for that harsh second person you, because the way you talk to yourself affects the way you feel, and changing the way you talk to yourself can also affect the way that you feel. So instead of being critical, you gotta learn to be kind. Respond to yourself in comforting, soothing, acknowledging, and validating words instead of to food. Respond to yourself as you would respond to a friend. In fact, if you would not say it to a friend, child, or loved one, don't say it to yourself. And that is our show for today. I will finish this up next week. I have a couple more tips on how to get through the holidays without gaining weight. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. You can listen live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. or listen later at Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Oh, and again, I want to let you know that I released more books to be available for those who want to get it. It's free. All you have to do is cover shipping. Just go to drnina.info, drnina.info, and grab your copy now. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.